Hi, everybody. It's Sharon Odom from Cosmetic Surgery Today, and welcome to the call. Today's special guest is Dr. Robert Kotler, who you may remember from Dr. 90210. Hi, Dr. Kotler. How are you?
Hi, Sharon. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Well, I know everyone is very interested in Dr. 90210, but today we'll just talk about a subject that you brought up to me that I thought was very interesting. Why do some people look unnatural after cosmetic facial surgery? Now, you focus on cosmetic facial surgery only, correct?
That's correct. Well, we don't do any body and fender work, as they say.
Oh, okay. No body and fender work. Okay, good.
Right.
Good. So this is a fascinating subject, and as I was thinking about it, I thought to myself, well, the only time that someone would notice if it's unnatural is if it does, if it didn't look good, because if it looked good, no one would even know that they had surgery, correct?
You're absolutely correct. Good quality, top quality work never calls attention to itself. On the other hand, if the result is so obviously unnatural, it's like carrying a sign around that says, look at me, I had cosmetic surgery. But that's
right.
Not what people want.
Exactly. You want it to look like you just had a nice rest, right, and we're all refreshed. Exactly.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's the best compliment. People say, wow, you look great, or I didn't see you for a couple weeks. Looks like you changed your hairdo. You just look fabulous. That's what we love to hear our patients relay to us.
Okay. So the big question is, why do so many people walk around with these frozen, unnatural-looking nose jobs and facelifts?
Okay. Well, the truth is that the common factor in all results that look unnatural or overdone is that, in fact, too much was done. For example, with a facelift, if the skin is pulled back too tightly, where there's almost a mask-like look, or some people say, God, I saw someone look like the Joker, you know, from the Batman movie. It's because they pulled too tightly, perhaps took out too much skin, and the doctor didn't have a sense of what looks correct. It's really about the doctor's sense of what looks right, because the patient has no control.
Right.
And we see the same problem with nose surgery. If the surgeon doesn't have kind of that, what looks right and natural sense, then he's apt to do too much. Too much would be the nose is too narrow. The tip is too pinched. On profile, it looks scooped out. You can see the nostrils. All these things call attention to the nose, and that's not what it should do. I mean, good surgery should just make the nose look better. It should be proportional to the face. It should look as if it were the nose that the patient was born with.
Right. Now, so how can a person avoid that unnatural look? So it all comes down to the choice of surgeon?
Yes, that is the truth.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. You need to see a surgeon's work just as you need to see an artist's work if you're going to consider purchasing a piece of artwork. And if you see enough of the surgeon's work, either face-to-face through a friend or a relative or whatever, or enough photographs of befores and afters, you're going to get a very good sense of the talent level. Now, for example, today, the web world allows us a lot of opportunities to get a peek at a doctor's work. A good website should have dozens and dozens of photographs of the type of procedure that you're considering. And if you look at the photographs and your sense is that, gee, those look good, those look natural, I don't see anybody too pulled, I wouldn't know they had surgery. If that's what you come away with, then you're probably going to be in good hands, and certainly it's a starter. I would visit that doctor. On the other hand, if you visit a website that has just a couple of befores and afters and the work doesn't look particularly natural and you don't find it satisfactory, that's not where you're going. And, of course, again, a personal referral from a friend or relative who's happy is very important. But you need to see the person because, frankly, it's what you think is natural and what you think will make you happy is what counts.
Right. So let me ask you this. Could an unnatural look be the result of not having enough done ever? Just play devil advocate. Could that be the case, or is it always the case that taking out too much?
Right. That's a great point. If let's theorize that too little was done. You won't, for example, in facelifting, you would look unnatural. You just wouldn't have the satisfactory result that you'd want, and if you were the patient. But you won't look overdone. As a matter of fact, I will tell you that typically, if there's going to be difference from perfection, meaning too much or too little, I'd always vote for too little, frankly.
Because then you can get more done later.
Exactly. And look, you want to look age appropriate when it comes to facelifting and eyelid surgery and neck sculpture, all the procedures that we do for people who want to look younger. You want to look age appropriate. You don't want to, if you're 55, you ought not to try to look 20. It's not really becoming. Because remember, there's other little tip-offs. As soon as someone looks at your hand, they're going to say, hey, wait
right.
a minute here, there's a little disconnect.
Right.
So you ask the marvelous question, and this is how we train our young surgeons to say, when you're making a decision, always vote for less. You'll not make a mistake. And by the way, let's just say that a person has a surgery and it's been a little less than perhaps they expected. The surgeon will always be glad to go back, do a little extra tightening. It's safe. It's not complicated. On the other hand, if the surgery's been overdone, that's very difficult to correct.
I see.
Yep.
Now, you teach at UCLA, correct?
Yes, I teach at UCLA. I also teach it at USC. But don't tell each other that because they're always mad at each other during football season.
I know.
I'll be in big trouble.
Yes,
yeah.
I went to UCLA, so I'm familiar with the
rivalry.
All right.
Well, you know. I got to be careful.
Yes, yes. So most of your surgery focuses on the face, right? So what in particular do you do the most? Or just everything above the neck?
Yeah, well, you know, there's really a small menu. Practices like mine are considered a boutique versus a department store practice. And this is important and has a real bearing on the selection of surgeon.
Right.
Typically, the most talented, the most accomplished surgeons will be those who have a very short menu. In other words, they're so focused that this repetition of doing the same operations over and over is what breeds their excellence. So it's the boutique, it's the small menu practice that I would go to and have gone to for my surgeries versus the department store, which covers everything but can't be a superstar. Therefore, the practice that operates from the top of the head to the legs, meaning that do hair transplants, all the facial surgery, breast surgery, tummy tuck, dermabrasion, chemical peel, it's impossible to master all these. The brightest doctor in the world cannot master more than a handful of procedures. That's the truth. So do you want a master surgeon, a super specialist, someone at the top of the totem pole, or not? That's the question you have to ask, but you know the answer.
Right. Now, okay, so that's another factor in choosing a surgeon, to make sure that it's a boutique instead of a department.
Yeah, you want the most specialized. You want someone who's focused. By the end, the world of medicine, and I mean all kinds of doctors, has been moving that way for a long time. You know, there are doctors who specialize only in, say, the thyroid gland. They are internists first, then they're endocrinologists, and then they train further just to treat problems with the thyroid. And in
right.
the world of surgery, for example, in orthopedic surgery, well, orthopedic surgery has so many divisions. They have hand surgeons, back surgeons, shoulder surgeons, knee surgeons. These are the people you want to go to. When I had to have my shoulder fixed many years ago, I went to a doctor who did mostly shoulders, and his partner did mostly knees. And that's what you want. See, because that constant focus on a narrow subject makes that doctor very good. And the doctors know that, and we try to share that with patients as much as possible. The principles are the same, and the principles extend even outside the world of medicine. Let's say you have a foreign car. Are you better off going to a mechanic who specializes in that type of car or the corner gas station that says, oh, we do all cars?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you
just,
go specialize.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
Great. Okay. All right. So what else, what other factors? So it's just the surgeon. That it comes down to the selection of the surgeon.
I think the selection of the surgeon is the key here. It's always been the key to me because it all begins with the surgeon's focus, his talent, and the demonstration of the talent in terms of seeing the results. And you have to feel comfortable that you're with the doctor who is the most capable or most talented for what you want. For example, 80% of our practice is nose surgery. Now, there are other practices that would tell you that they're 80% breast augmentation or body sculpture procedure. That's another specialized practice, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that surgeon, we have an associate across the street here in Beverly Hills, Dr. Linder, for example. I mean, he doesn't do any work on the face and neck. Now, he is a board-certified specialist. He was entitled to it, but he also feels, as I do, that the best work will come when you're narrowly focused. So his practice is limited to, as I say, breast surgery, whether it be breast augmentation or breast reduction, tummy tuck, liposuction. That's it. Another short menu.
Right. Okay. Okay, so say you do go to, you talk to a surgeon and you look at the pictures. Would it be good to actually try to talk to some patients?
Yes.
You know, some actual patients?
I like that. I think mm-hmm. it's great. Now, we offer that service. Luckily, there are always patients in any practice who would be kind and gracious and say, you know, if someone's considering having this procedure, I'll be glad to talk to them. And even meet with them if they like. Or you can ask them to perhaps come in for the next office visit at the same time that a prospective patient is there. That's a wonderful way. And then the book is open, right?
Exactly.
It's totally
exactly.
open. You get mm-hmm. to see the results. You look at the incisions. You see if it's a nose case, you see how the nose look. And let the patient recite their whole experience. How did they find the anesthesia? How did they find the recovery? Did all the office staff do what they should do for them? Were they happy with the entire experience? I mean, you have to be sort of a smart consumer, no less than you are when you go shopping for an architect or builder for your house, right?
Exactly.
The principles are the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you're considering an architect, you'll say, well, can I see a few houses you've designed? I need a sense of your taste, of your talent.
Right.
I like when the patient, prospective patient, rather, has an opportunity to meet with a satisfied patient. And once in a while, a patient comes to me and says, oh, I went to Dr. Smith and I asked to meet a patient and he told me he didn't have anybody who was willing to talk about it. Well, that's nonsense. There has to be somebody.
Right.
Or maybe he's only had three patients and all three, you know, aren't interested in talking. But if he's had hundreds or thousands, and of course that's the kind of doctor you want,
exactly.
with a long history of experience, of course
exactly.
there are going to be some patients who
right.
agree
and
to it, just as there will be some patients who absolutely will not agree to do it, not
right.
because they're ashamed, because they are a little more private, and we respect that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
fine.
I would think that that would be a big red flag for two reasons. Number one, he hasn't done enough, because
yeah.
if you've done 1,000 surgeries, you know, a few are going to be willing to talk to someone.
Exactly. It's just probability, the laws of probability.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed, matter of fact, we had one patient that told us she called one of her others and asked if she could see her and talk to her, because it turns out they live nearby, and they went out for coffee and they became good friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's neat. You know, I welcome that. Now, I'll tell you, for example, if patients want to ask me about nose surgery, I'll say, well, I can tell you I had nose surgery. And I'm happy, but the better thing is to talk to somebody, you know, that is totally objective, right, about it, and who's been a patient here and knows what it's like. And they love that opportunity. It's terrific.
Yeah.
And that applies really to any procedure. A telephone call to discuss it is great. A face-to-face meeting is even better.
Right. And definitely nothing like seeing an example of the work and hearing a person
Yeah.
talk about it and
yeah.
rave about it and say good things. I mean, that's the
yeah.
best salesman ever,
yeah.
really.
Yeah. And by the way, it's important, because patients need to have some comfort, less anxiety going into something. We find when patients are well-educated, and it's our business to teach and educate them. That's why I wrote my book, Secrets of a Beverly Hills Cosmetic Surgeon. I wanted people to learn. I give them the questions to ask when they go to consultation. It's so important that people be very comfortable. And if you're not comfortable, don't do it. Or if you're not comfortable with that particular office, don't do it.
Right.
Because you have to go in feeling, yes, this is for me. I'm 100% committed, and I feel comfortable here. These people are going to take good care of me. I'm in good hands. And that's most, and if you don't do it. When in doubt, do without.
Okay. All right.
I want to bring up one other subject, by the way, if you don't mind, and that is there's some neat ways to get a little introduction to how you would look. You know, we live in a fabulous world of technology.
Yes.
We have in our office a computer imaging system. Computer imaging is like, you know, it's like a morphing system. It's a way to demonstrate on the computer screen what the result would be. We take a before picture. Then my assistant, who's very talented, will shave the bump off a nose
right.
or erase the wrinkle.
I've seen those. Yeah, that's
great.
Isn't it
fabulous? And mm-hmm. that is really important because you need to see what the doctor thinks he can accomplish and what you think you like and what's realistic, see? So you have a
right.
meeting of the minds.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't look right or you're not satisfied and you can't jointly decide on what to do, then, again, you shouldn't do it, or at least not with that doctor. In other words, you don't care for the doctor's sense of what he can deliver. Now, it's
right.
important to believe that the doctor can deliver what he's showing you, and you confirm that by looking at his photos. And, of course, what you want to see and you should see is an example of the before, the computer image that the doctor, you know, demonstrated to another patient, and the final result.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the whole scorecard right there.
Right.
See, and these are the kind of things that one is not apt to think about unless they really get very involved. In other words, the patients need to take this seriously. They need to do their homework. They need to study websites like yours, for example, are fantastic. You know, Cosmetic Surgery Today gives the visitor a lot of information and in a concise manner.
Great. Well, thank you. So let's sort of summarize what we've talked about. The initial question was, why do some people look unnatural after cosmetic facial surgery? And to just sort of summarize everything we've said, what would you say to them?
Too much has been done. It's been overdone. Too
okay.
much skin has been removed, too much sculpting of the nose, just too much.
Okay.
Overdone.
Okay. And the choice of doctor.
Choice of doctor. In other words, the,
yes.
the choice of physician is the first major decision.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right. Well, great. Well, this has been very informative. I've learned a lot. I'm sure everyone else has too. And do you have any final words for anyone? Any Dr. 90210 trivia you'd like to share with us?
Any wisdom from zip code 90210?
Yes.
I would tell you, I think cosmetic surgery is fantastic when it's done well.
Right.
I've had it. I've operated on my own family.
Mm-hmm.
Other doctors have operated on family members, depending on what needs to be done.
Right.
It's a positive thing for many people, and it's an important positive. I
yeah.
need not tell you that if you take a young teen with an oversized nose and you change that nose and give them a nice, natural nose, that's the greatest gift a young person can have.
Oh, sure.
Because
yeah, self-esteem, peer issues.
Exactly.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's right. And, you know, there are a lot of negatives that come into our lives. We can't escape illness. We can't escape, you know, family problems, et cetera. There's always challenges. But a cosmetic surgery is a positive that you put into your life. You make the choice to do something that's a total positive. I had my
okay.
nose done, one of the best decisions I ever made, frankly, as I look back upon my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear from patients. I always hear, you know, why did I wait so long?
Exactly.
Why didn't I do this earlier? Hey, this
exactly.
is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why cosmetic surgery has grown. But as we're discussing here, and that's why I think our subject is important, you have to do it well. You don't want to stumble. You don't want to stub your toe. You want to do it right. You want a natural result. And we didn't talk about safety, and maybe we can talk about that in the future too. Because safety under anesthesia and the entire process of making sure everything goes well, you know, and no complications is very important, obviously.
Yes. Well, maybe we can talk about that in the future. I hope you will come back and join us again and impart more of your wisdom.
I'd love to. I'm glad to help. I love to teach. It's great. As you can tell, I'm sort of enthusiastic about it.
Yes, we like that passion.
And yeah. because it works, and it's been a pleasure for me for many, many years to deliver happiness to people. And every Christmas I get some fabulous cards and photographs saying, look at me, I still look young.
Well, do you want to tell people how to find out more about you? What's your website?
Sure. Our website is www.robertkotlermd.com. It's Robert, K-O-T-L-E-R, MD.com.
Okay.
And we've got lots of good information. And I also, as I said, I wrote my book, Secrets of a Beverly Hills Cosmetic Surgeon, which has been very popular, to address the same role, the same mission, that is to educate people and help them make good decisions.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And
thank you, Sharon. I enjoyed chatting with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.